This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to learn about a plan to modify land use on 45,000 acres in eastern Collier County that would impact endangered species living there, including the Florida panther. Plus, sea turtle nesting season just wrapped up. We'll talk with a volunteer from Turtle Time who spends her time walking the beaches, keeping an eye out for sea turtle nests to find out how this season turned out amidst the two harmful algal blooms that we experienced this year. But first, last Thursday, the governing board of the South Florida Water Management District voted to extend a lease for sugar farmers to use land that was slated for a water storage reservoir. That reservoir is intended to reduce the need for water discharges from Lake Okeechobee, which contribute to those harmful algal blooms on Florida's coasts. It's called the EAA Reservoir, EAA standing for Everglades Agricultural Area. The project recently received federal authorization through the 2018 Water Resources Development Act. Part of that reservoir will be built on about 16,000 acres that are currently being farmed by New Hope Sugar Company, which is a subsidiary of Florida Crystals, under a lease that would have expired next March. But now that lease will expire in 2027. Provisions allow the district to take parts or all of that land back as soon as it's needed for construction of the reservoir within 4 months' notice. Water managers say that this is all on the up and up and that the law requires them to allow the farming to continue until the planning stages are complete and work on reservoir actually commences, which will take years. Critics say the land could be used for water storage now and that the lease extension is just a giveaway to sugar farmers. Joining me now is one of the most vocal critics of last week's vote to extend that lease. Eric Eichenberg is the CEO of the Everglades Foundation. Eric, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Julie, thank you for having me.
And I want to be clear that we did extend an invitation to the South Florida Water Management District to join us on today's show, but we did not hear back from them. As always, we invite you, the listeners, to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. So, Eric, let's start from the beginning. How did the idea for this proposed EAA reservoir first come about? Is this ancient history, or is this...
Well, 18 years ago, when Congress and then-President Clinton signed the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan...
SERP, we call it.
Yes, ma'am. The first project, or actually the second project in that piece of legislation, was a reservoir south of Lake Okeechobee, the EA reservoir that you just referenced. So we've been 18 years in the waiting. Just in the last 3 to 6 summers, we've had toxic algae from Lake Okeechobee. This sense of urgency from the public has resulted in having this project be authorized once again by the federal government, signed by the president just about 10 days ago.
And that was seen as a big victory.
It was. And I'll have to go back and think favorably on the countless amount of Floridians who stepped up to say we need to redirect water from Lake Okeechobee instead of blasting it down the Caloosahatchee and the St. Lucie, instead, as nature has it to go, store it, clean it, and send that water south to the Everglades. Because the irony is the Florida Keys and Everglades National Park needs the water.
They do, yeah. So tell me about this reservoir, the size, location. How much water is that intended to store and clean out?
It's about 120 billion gallons is the estimate. It's, again, as you've alluded to, 16,000 acres. It's going to be a very tall, deep reservoir. The original proposal that was offered in 2017 by Senate President Joe Negron,
who was Senate Bill 10?
Senate Bill 10, a champion of this effort, was on 60,000 acres. 60,000 acres within that EAA. As the process moved through Tallahassee, the sugar industry was not willing to be a willing seller and to provide land for this critical project. And instead, the legislature had to revert to state-owned land, taxpayer-owned land within the EAA. That's where the 16,000 acres comes into play.
So the land we're talking about that's going to become this reservoir is land that's already owned by the state.
That's correct.
And it had been being leased,
yes,
by sugar farmers.
Yes. The lease was signed many, many years ago. The expiration date on this particular lease, the 16,000 acres in question, March 31st of 2019. So again, as this passed unanimously in the Florida Senate, 99 votes in the Florida House, Congress, President Trump signing this bill, it was moving towards having that land available come April of next year. Land that could be utilized for a temporary storage project. This same water management district is quick to give money away for dispersed water management, short-term storage. These 16,000 acres certainly could be used in the interim for that purpose.
It could be. It doesn't require infrastructure to get that rolling?
You know, you have earthen berms. You put some berms around to hold water on a land. You put a pump on this property to allow water to be diverted to this 16,000 acres. Be in the driver's seat. The Water Management District has state law, legislation that says once Congress authorizes it and the president signs it, you shall begin the design and construction of this reservoir. Once that's happening, put a temporary project there. Put an interim storage plan in place and utilize the taxpayer land for good.
Well, you talk about all this forward momentum and all these people being so upset about what we saw just in the last year, the last couple of years, 3 years. And then they just renewed this lease to have the land continue to be farmed. So, I mean, I don't think anybody had this momentum because, hey, we would really love to get something done in 10 years.
Correct. This idea that you have to wait another 10 to 15 years, that's hogwash. And we reject that bureaucratic dragging of knuckles. The issue here is we have momentum. We have political will to make this happen.
And funding.
The state funding is set aside. We go to Washington every year to seek federal dollars. We have allies in Congress who support funding of the Everglades. But on this lease issue, it expired in March of next year. To not have this process laid out for the public to see, to not have a transparent discussion about this particular lease, that's what's most troubling. Reasonable people can understand how you can move forward on this project itself, but to do this in the dark of night, to change the agenda less than 12 hours before they convene that meeting in Miami, a remote location at the University of Miami, not even at the Water Management District.
Really?
And to do this in the setting that they did, they rebuffed the governor-elect of Florida and a U.S. sitting congressman who was in person asking that the item to be pulled. They voted unanimously to move forward, not the will of the taxpayer.
So this is a meeting that happened last Thursday.
Correct.
The meeting, the agenda was changed, you said, within 12 hours of that meeting.
9:30 Wednesday night, to be exact.
Yeah. So they had the meeting in an unusual location, not where they normally meet.
They usually meet in West Palm Beach. They may take these meetings on the road, but this particular one was at the University of Miami, downtown Coral Gables, rush hour traffic on a Thursday in South Florida. A perfect location to not get attendees to come and to voice their support. The good news is Congressman Brian Mass drove down from Stewart. He stood before this governing board and asked them on behalf of Ron DeSantis, the governor-elect, to pull the item off of the agenda and let's have an opportunity to be briefed and understand the impacts of the decision that they're about to do.
Well, to be clear, governor-elect is that's still unknown too.
That's right.
We still have the recounts going on. So he was presuming that to be the governor-elect, but that's an interesting point that you bring up too. So were you able to make it to that meeting?
We had representatives from the Everglades Foundation there. Shannon Estenos spoke on behalf of the foundation as well as others, Captains for Clean Water and other conservation groups, asked the item to be pulled. Not so much vote against it. Pull the item so that
just
we can
wait,
have a
because you got till March.
And let's have a full discussion. And unfortunately, these talks have been in the works for weeks before we uncovered it through a public records request.
So in a letter to Governor Scott, you said, quote, "In a breathtaking effort to thwart the public will, less than 48 hours after a statewide election during which you repeatedly and personally assured the people of Florida of your commitment to protecting Florida's environment, it appears that your appointees at SFWMD, the South Florida Water Management District, have been engaged in secret negotiations with Florida Crystals to extend these leases for the growing of sugarcane through the year 2027, a fact we just learned yesterday through a public records request." You go on to say, "Your appointees ignored the urgent request of Governor-elect Ron DeSantis," quick side note, that race yet to be determined, "and U.S. Representative Brian Mast, Republican from Stewart, to delay any action until the Governor-elect could be briefed on the matter. Your office was aware of our concerns about this matter but did nothing to intervene. Considering this, I must conclude that your administration is complicit in this illegal maneuver that benefits a single sugar company over the interests of the people of Florida who own the land in question." End quote. Have you heard back from Governor Scott yet?
No, we haven't.
Do you expect to?
No. But what we have heard from is both Mr. DeSantis and Mr. Mast made it very clear that the actions that were taken yesterday last Thursday were troubling. They had specifically asked that it not be taken up. The issue too, this again was less than 48 hours after polls closed, where we had the largest turnout in the history of Florida for a midterm election and this water crisis.
And at that point, I don't think we knew we were going to have a recount on the governor's race.
That was developing as the days were going by. But the point is, this the algae from Lake Okeechobee, certainly the red tide along the west coast, went over to the east coast. The water crises, the threat to our economy, the impact on tourism, all of those factors drove people to the polls, regardless of their party affiliation. So to understand that hope was on the way here, where a project was going to be authorized and we can begin the steps needed, by extending this lease, at a minimum, we have 2 years of nothing. And they're out there today moving rocks around. You can move rocks all day long. The fact is, we have 2 years of nothing before you can potentially start working on this. We need to take that land back.
Why is that 2 years?
The lease extensions allow for 4 months' notice. But when you read through the fine print, it's 24 months. It's a guaranteed 24-month extension. 4 months' notice would be in the month 20. You would still have to have a minimum of 2 years, maximum of 8 years. The way this board negotiates, or the way this district negotiates, it's not on behalf of the 8 million or so that reside in the water management district.
Is there any possibility of this being backpedaled? Is there any way to overturn this? Is it going to be legally challenged?
I think all those questions are being discussed, being figured out. We just know that the outcry that we've received, that's been voiced on social media and other forums, people are upset about this. Again, it was the nature of the way they did it. There wasn't a probing question by any of those board members to the staff. It was clear this was cooked. It was a post-election double cross to the finest. And unfortunately now, the people living on the West Coast, from Naples up to Fort Myers, Sanibel, Captiva, Stewart on the East Coast, and the points in between, will now have to wait
another 2 years
at minimum.
Minimum.
And to us, that is troubling. That is a troubling turn of events.
So an attorney for the district said that it's going to be easier to convert land that's currently being farmed into a reservoir as compared to land that's no longer being managed and has gone back to a more natural state. Is that true at all?
Listen,
I mean, how's it different?
The attorney who stood up there and presented this case, who was mix-matching facts and was showing a video from 2017 with a 2018 law, he was so confused and not fully grasping what he was in fact saying. Why not have that discussion? Have a public meeting to talk about this particular lease and how this lease or this land is going to complement what was passed in Senate Bill 10. This is the land that's needed for this reservoir. The public, the taxpayer, deserves the right to hear all of this in the open, in the sunshine, and not through backroom deals.
And you said before we went on the air that you did a public records request to find out about when these negotiations began.
Our records show, the documents that we've received, these talks had started even back in the month of July. So July, September, all through the month of October. These actions were ongoing. The fact that this was sprung upon everybody was unfortunate, but clearly the leadership of the district, the governing board of this district, knew exactly what it was doing.
You indicated before we went on the air that the members of this district have a relationship with the former agriculture commissioner.
Well, I would say that a lot of them were supporting the commissioner of agriculture.
Oh, okay.
So whether they do or not, the point is, agriculture, the sugar industry, has a great amount of influence as it relates to the water management district. That was evident in the discussion that occurred last Thursday.
Do you feel that they were concerned with the possibility of a Ron DeSantis governor?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. That certainly played out.
Because he did campaign a lot by saying that he never took money from Big Sugar and he wasn't going to play ball with them. That was part of his campaign thing.
You have a 20th century water infrastructure sitting right there south of Lake Okeechobee. That is an infrastructure that supports a 20th century economy, agriculture, development. We're now in the 21st century economy. Tourism is our number one driving force for economic vitality. We need to protect our tourism. Real estate, local governments rely on property tax revenues. No one wants to buy or sell a home when you have toxic blue-green algae in the backyard waterways. We have to take Lake Okeechobee water.
Or a dried-up Everglades.
The fires we're seeing in California, that the magnitude of that. But when the Everglades dries up, they do burn. We have seen fires in the past. So the comprehensive plan, SERP, that you referenced earlier, SERP solves all these issues. When Sugar says you can't send water south because the system's full, it's because we haven't fully implemented SERP. SERP solves those issues. We're bridging US 41 down in Miami. Water has to go under those bridges into Everglades National Park. Everglades restoration is the answer. This reservoir is critical to reconnecting the flow south.
If you're just joining the show, I'm talking with Eric Eichenberg. He's the CEO of the Everglades Foundation during this part of today's show. We're exploring the proposed EAA reservoir that water managers intend to build in the Everglades agricultural area south of Lake Okeechobee. As the project begins to move forward, the state has extended a lease on land slated for that reservoir to sugar farmers that are currently working it. Critics say that's going to slow that project down. Water managers disagree. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Eric, what is your overall opinion on how this is going to play out? Is there definitely going to be an EAA reservoir at some point in the next 10 years even?
It needs to, yes.
Well,
we need it. We desperately need it. I reject this idea of waiting 10 to 15 years. The urgency, like I said, is there. We need to ensure that we have administration officials in Tallahassee, administration officials in West Palm Beach who have the same amount of urgency that the public has.
Well, I mean, I'm no engineer, but what does it take to figure out a place to hold water?
You can – I'm no engineer either, but I've been told you can engineer a reservoir to fit the amount of water that's needed. Certainly, there are criteria that need to take into account, dam safety, because the height of this reservoir is going to be severe. It's going to be very high, some 30 feet high, 25 feet deep. This water is not going to fill up and just stay there, remain stagnant. You're going to take that water from the lake, fill up this reservoir, then send the water into the 60,000 acres of man-made wetlands, the filtration marshes south of those sugar fields, so that you can remove phosphorus and nitrogen from the water. And then you're ultimately delivering fresh water south. Listeners need to also understand Congress and the president signed the Central Everglades Plan. It's removing all of these man-made barriers in the River of Grass, that iconic portion of the River of Grass south of the lake, so that you have a more natural sheet flow. The bridges along Tamiami Trail, 3.6 miles of 12-foot bridges that are now open to traffic, that's going to allow this water to go into Everglades National Park, and ultimately it's down to Florida Bay and the Florida Keys. It's an engineering feat, the largest restoration project in the history of the world. Let's have this generation make it happen.
We have a call coming in from Bill in North Fort Myers. Bill, what would you like to share?
Well, I agree that we should move forward on this project as quickly as possible. I live on the river and watch the blue-green algae travel down the road. I have friends and family that come down for a visit and watch the red tide and the fish die. So we really need to go forward quickly. However, if we're being blocked by the water management district, maybe what we should do is go to the state legislature and tax the heck out of the sugar industry, check all their trucks, stop them, weigh them, delay them, do whatever we can until they decide to come around and help us out.
All right, Bill, that's an interesting comment and way to go. And that's, you know, seems like hitting them where it hurts in the wallet is a lot of people's idea of a good solution. How much does the sugar industry pay to lease this land?
Well, they do have a lease. They pay roughly, it's about $1 million a year on this particular parcel of land. But the taxpayer owns roughly 48,000 acres within the EAA. All of it is leased. So they have their own land. It's roughly 550,000 total acres of that 48,000 are taxpayer-owned, which are leased to the sugar companies. But this reservoir originally was envisioned to be 60,000 acres, a very small fraction of the amount of land that's south of Lake Okeechobee. And for the last 18 years, the restoration projects that we've been dealing with are all along the coast. They're on the peripheral of the heart of the matter, and the caller just referenced the fact of the algae going down the waterways and the Caloosahatchee and the local estuary. That water has to go south. It's the way nature originally planned it to do. Now, we have development. We have 8 million people that live in South Florida. It's not the normal 150 years ago, but to be able to re-engineer it, to remove the man-made levees and barriers to have a more natural sheet flow, that's the ultimate goal that we're pursuing.
Before I let you go, I want to ask about something else that they voted on last week. At that same meeting, the district's governing board also voted to request an end to federal oversight of whether the district is cleaning water to appropriate levels for restoration. Can you explain what that means and how it might impact water quality situation, or at least oversight of it, in South Florida?
Well, they were clearly on a roll last Thursday.
They really were. They were feeling their power.
They were, well, if that's what you want to call it. It is kind of laughable. There was a federal lawsuit filed in 1988. Dexter Leighton, the spouse of Congresswoman Ileana Ross Leighton, was the U.S. attorney at the time. He sued the state of Florida because polluted water was going into Everglades National Park. A federal judge, this has now been two federal judges who have overseen the cleanup of the Everglades. This consent decree that mandates that the water going into Everglades National Park, Loxahatchee National Wildlife Refuge, needs to be 10 parts per billion, needs to have a certain water quality standard. This is a consent decree that was agreed to by the state of Florida, the federal government, all the parties. There's plaintiffs that are involved here. One entity cannot say we're out or we're removing ourselves from it. So they're a little bit above their weight class with this decision. The irony, I'll just say, Julie, is there were three no votes on that decision. That was a 6-3 vote. The three people that voted no said that they were voting no because the assumed governor-elect, and you prefaced that there's a recount going on, but the governor-elect needs to be briefed on the consent decree, needs to understand the impact of this issue, needs to have the courtesy of a particular briefing on this matter. They were quick to say that on that matter when it was on the lease a couple hours prior. There was no regard for any new administration or the courtesy of giving that same briefing. So, again, a little bit above their weight class on that decision. We'll see what happens.
Would that put the responsibility on the state of Florida then if they're trying to remove the federal government from oversight?
Well, the federal government is ensuring that the state is making necessary steps to ensure we have clean water. Rick Scott in 2012 negotiated with the Obama administration a 13-year plan to deliver clean water into the Everglades. It's called Restoration Strategies. Mm-hmm. And that is to expand those filtration marshes that I mentioned earlier, from 60,000 to roughly 70,000 acres in total. It's allowing for infrastructure to be in place so that you ultimately are delivering clean water by the year 2025. So when that was announced, everybody decided to put down their arms. Let's get away from our corners, mm-hmm. and let's strive to ensure that you're delivering clean, fresh water into Everglades National Park and ultimately Everglades themselves. We're still a few years away from that. We need to stay the course and keep all of these protections in place moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I cut you loose, we have one more call, and this is from Mark in Fort Myers. Mark, what would you like to say?
Eric, you and your organization and staff are doing fantastic work. Keep up the good fight. I just wanted to reinforce and let the public know the disdain that really the South Florida Management District has for the citizens of our county. If you go back, it's actually on tape, you can see James Moran, when we were trying to adjust to have the flows adjusted coming down Loxahatchee, literally called us sissies over here on the West Coast. So again, just further emphasizes their own agenda and lack of support of the people they're supposed to represent. Take comments off the air.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate your comment. You were nodding your head. Do you remember this?
Yeah, this was in maybe two meetings ago. A delegation from Lee County traveled to West Palm Beach to ask for additional water from Lake Okeechobee when we have levels that are low. You know, we're dealing with a lot of excess water at the moment, but 9 out of 10 times we're dealing with drought conditions. Mm-hmm. And the Caloosahatchee Estuary is the last item, the last man standing to get the water. So this delegation asked that as they're considering the consumptive use and where the water needs to go, to give it to them when they need it. They don't want it when you have excess water, it needs to go south. But when there's a desperate need during dry conditions, the Caloosahatchee needs that fresh water to counter the salt water. But the comment that Mark mentioned about Mr. Moran, this has just been the regard that the board has given the public in the past. Brian Mast has showed up at multiple meetings, and the way I've worked for a member of Congress, regardless of party, deserves respect. He represents 500,000 people. That does not occur when he steps into that room in West Palm Beach, and that's unfortunate.
I do want to make it clear also that we did invite the South Florida Water Management District to be part of our show today, but they did not respond to our request. So I do want to also, you know, make sure that I make that clear. But that's all the time that we have for this part of the show. And I want to thank my guest, Eric Eichenberg, CEO of the Everglades Foundation. Thanks so much for making something that's so complicated understandable.
Thank you, Julie.
When we return, a proposed habitat conservation plan in eastern Collier County is being considered that would permit more than 45,000 acres of rural lands be developed, including lands relied on by endangered wildlife species like the Florida panther. We're joined by the Conservancy of Southwest Florida's environmental policy manager to learn more about that next. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live.